Thank you, Cherry, for that beautiful special. And whoever was going to sing a duet with you, I'm sorry that they were excluded from that this morning. I appreciate you, Jill, for playing the piano, and Philip for leading us in worship, and men for taking up the offering. If you have your Bible, I hope that you will turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, we're going to continue in our study through this letter of 1 John, and also hope that you'll pull out that bulletin, and on the back of that there'll be some notes that we're going to work through our time together. But 1 John chapter 3, and I hope you do bring a Bible with you, and if you ever find yourself having forgot it or not having with you, there's always Bibles in the back, because I want you to have a copy of God's Word in front of you, because I want you to see what we are seeing, and we are studying God's Word together, and so we want to be able to see God's Word together. So I hope that you will find your way there to 1 John chapter 3. I don't do this very often, and so I don't you think that I'm abusing it, but I just want to ask a show of hands, if you'd be willing to, this morning. When you came in this morning, and you came into the sanctuary, how many of you load tested the seat before you sat down? That is a lie in church, and I hope that you repent. But I mean, how many of us came in this morning and you brought your weights in with you, and before you came in and before you chose that seat, you loaded that thing down with whatever the equivalent of your body weight is to make sure it would hold your weight? Okay? So nobody. Well, how many of us in the room know what these pews are rated for? Okay, so no hands there. Okay, so maybe another one. How many of you, when you came in, before you even came in the building, you put your hand inside the building with a little cup and got a sample of the oxygen and pulled it back outside and tested it to make sure that the oxygen was breathable before you came inside? Nobody did that. And you know the reason, one of the many reasons, but the reason that I'm going to key on this morning, the reason why you didn't do any of those things is because you had confidence and trust. See, you were willing to come in and you were willing to open the doors and you were willing to walk straight in, not knowing the condition of the air inside. And you were able to walk straight in and sit down without even knowing what this pew is rated for. Will this pew hold my weight? You and I just came in and we sit down without even the understanding or the knowledge if it would hold, because you and I had confidence and you and I had trust that this was going to be taken care of. Now, I don't know if you thought about it very much or if you spend very much time thinking about it, but just think about for a moment how many times or how many places in this world around us we exhibit or demonstrate blind faith or confidence. You and I go to the football game on a Friday night and we climb up on the bleachers and we don't even look about whether the bleachers are bolted down, whether there's a water polo in the bleachers. We just sit down on the bleachers because we have confidence the bleachers will handle it. You and I are driving down the road, and when you and I top the hill coming from Hilton and we come down to that T-intersection, knowing the danger of the T-intersection, many of us, a lot of times, we don't tap our brakes before a mile away to make sure we have brakes. No, when we get to the point that we need brakes, we apply the brakes, having confidence that the brakes will work. You and I demonstrate and illustrate confidence and trust every day of our lives. But yet, I wonder why we get to be so skeptical and untrusting when it comes to God. Why in the world are you and I willing to come in and say, I'm going to have confidence in this wooden pew, but I won't have confidence in the Word of God? Why are you and I able to come in and say, well, I'm willing to trust that this oxygen is breathable and I can breathe that air, but you and I will not trust the Spirit inside of us to lead us? I wonder how many times you, over this last week, or maybe even beyond that, how many times can you point to and say, you know what, I didn't have the confidence I should have in God. I didn't have the trust I should have in God. And do you ever find yourself frustrated because you don't have the confidence what you wish you had? I'll be honest with you, there's lots of times that I find myself frustrated with myself. Because I had an opportunity to trust God, I had an opportunity to display and to demonstrate faithfulness and confidence in God, and yet so many times my personal mind gets in the way and I said, well, I'm just not sure, or I just don't know. And I wonder sometimes, what is the key that keeps me from having confidence and trust in God the way that I should? John, Here in 1 John chapter 3, John is writing to an early church. And he's writing to an early church that is struggling. They're struggling with heresy. They're struggling with divisions. They're struggling with people coming in and trying to pull them away from the truth and from the Word of God. And John comes in and says, listen, if you want to know what the secret ingredient that keeps you and I having confidence and faith and trust in God, it is love. Now, you and I pull back and say, love, is that it? Is love really the answer? Oh, love. Everybody says love is the answer to everything. Oh, this is such a cliche, preacher. But if you go back to what you and I have been looking at in the last few weeks, John comes in and says, listen, love plays a bigger role than you think about it. And not just love in the emotional kind of way, but we're talking about love for God and love for other people. The idea that when you and I love God the way we should love God, then we are being obedient the way we should to God. And that obedience then lends to confidence. And the same way that when you and I are loving others the way we should, then we have that confidence that we are being obedient and submitted to God. So he pulls this idea in of how important love is in our daily lives. Now, we're not talking about love for self. We're not necessarily talking about love for material possessions. We're not talking about love in the carnal, sinful way. We are talking about a love in the sacrificial, giving, prioritizing, submitting to, following kind of way. Then you may say, well, preacher, what are you trying to tell me this morning? I'm trying to tell you that so many times you and I struggle with confidence and faith and trusting is because we have a love problem. We don't have a God problem. We don't have a word problem. We have a love problem. And what I want to do this morning is I want to look at just a few simple ways how to verse 19 down through the rest of the chapter here in 1 John chapter 3. And what I want to do is I want us to just walk through there and see what John gives us, this prescription that John gives us. John just says, listen, why is love so important? Love is so vitally important because love is what it precipitates confidence. It is love that then moves us towards confidence in this daily life. So if you sat here this morning and if you are like me at times, and you find yourself frustrated because you don't have the confidence you wish you had. You don't have the trust that you wish you had. You see somebody and you say, I should talk to them about Jesus, but I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't have the words to say. And if they start asking me questions, I don't know how to answer the question. That's a confidence issue. Or I know that I should trust God and I should serve in this capacity, or I should serve in that capacity, or I should sacrifice here or there, but I'm just not sure if God can handle my situation. We have a trust problem. And I believe this morning that John would come in and say, beyond having a confidence or a trust problem, we have a love problem. So I want you and I to see together, starting there in verse 19, what John is wanting to show us this morning, that what he wants to show us in the way of demonstrating and giving us an example of why love is so important. And starting there in verse 19, I want you to see the first picture that he gives us, and that is that love gives us confidence in our heart. Love gives us confidence in our heart. Notice in verse 19, and we're going to pick it up there. Notice what John says. He writes, by this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. He is reminding us that how do we have assurance? How do you and I have confidence? How do you and I have trust in God and trust and confidence in this daily Christian life? It is because of our love in God. And he reminds you and I right there in verse 20 that our heart is a key tool used by the Spirit to keep you and I on the straight and narrow. How does the Holy Spirit use our heart? It uses our heart for the sake of conviction.
Amen.
Conviction has a purpose to it.
Right.
And I don't know if you've realized that or not, but a lot of times you will come across people and people will say, well, I'm just under a lot of conviction. Good!
Amen.
Conviction has a purpose. And we're reminded right here in verse 20, John says, listen, God works through the Spirit in your heart to not only to condemn you, but also to give you confidence. That's why he says right there in verse 20, for whenever our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. In other words, when your heart is condemning you, it's not because you have acid indigestion. It's not because that your heart is sick for someone else. It's because God is working in your heart to say, don't do that. Do this. You shouldn't be here. You should be over here. And that conviction has a purpose, and the reality that we sometimes miss is that we all deal with conviction. Every single one of us deals with conviction. Well, I'm sorry that Miss LaJoyce doesn't deal with conviction. Oh, she does. Well, I'm sure that Jack Derby doesn't deal with conviction. Oh, he does. Well, I'm definitely sure that JD doesn't deal with conviction. Oh, he does. Every single one of us in this room deals with conviction. And why should you and I recognize that conviction? Because God is dealing with our hearts. The biggest problem that you might have, or the biggest concern you might have, is not the fact that if your heart is being dealt with in conviction, it's that if you aren't under conviction. Now, notice John continues on there in verse 21. He talks about this idea that what happens if you're not under conviction. He says there in verse 21, he said, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him." So what he's saying is, if you and I are under conviction in our heart, it is God working in our hearts to mold us and refine us and to put us in the image of His Son. But if you and I are sitting there and I do not have a certain amount of conviction in my heart, it's because God is saying, "Yeah, you got this area right. Yeah, you got this taken care of." Does that mean I'm ever perfect? Heavens, no. But at the same time, there are times in our lives that the devil will bring in concern. The devil will bring in doubt. The devil will bring in all these kind of apprehensions. He'll bring all this kind of paranoia in to your life and to say, start questioning yourself. It's like on a Sunday morning, okay? Everybody says, "Well, we just need to have this place full." And I'll be real honest with you, there are some times that I think, "Hey, are there not more people here because I'm not a nicer guy, or I'm not a better preacher, or I just didn't prepare enough, or I just didn't do this right, or we just didn't do that right." And next thing you know, the devil has me and holding my ear and saying, paranoia, self-consciousness, da 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 da. But if it's not of God, don't worry about it. The biggest problem we have in the world today is not the preachers. It's the heart of the people not coming to church. And we're reminded so many times that the devil is always trying to get in our ear. And what John is wanting to remind you and I is, when you and I love God the way we should, that love gives us a confidence in our heart. A confidence is the result of our love for God, which is why he says there in verse 22, "And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him." He's reminding you and I that when our heart is right before God, then His pleasure is then our desire. So it's not the idea that you and I just ask. Well, I say, "Well, God, I want a brand new pickup." And God says, "Oh, okay, Spence," and hands me a brand new pickup. That is a total misuse of the phrase. What he is saying is that when my heart is right before God, I have confidence to ask for the things that God desires. Amen. How many times do you hear people and they're praying for things that may not be God's desire? When was the last time you prayed for someone to be saved? What's the last time you prayed for someone to get their heart right? There have been people, I have had three conversations just this week of individuals that have said, "I am tired of fighting. Tired of fighting what? I am tired of fighting my rebellious heart." And I have been praying for these men for some time. Now, that doesn't mean that God always answers every single prayer the way that I want it answered. But the reality is that John reminds you and I that when you and I have that confidence of God in our heart, because we know that we're loving God the way we should, then we're able to come to God and say, "God, this is my desire. This is my heart, because I know it is Your desire." Can you imagine what it would do to change our prayer life when you and I were praying in the will of God? And brothers and sisters, so many times we do not have that confidence because we don't have that confidence in our heart. I don't have any confidence in my heart because all I'm doing is consumed with this conviction. And I don't ever deal with the conviction. I just run from the conviction. You ever been there before where you didn't want to deal with the voice of God in your heart, so you tried to get as far away from that voice of God as you could? And you kept running, and God just kept pursuing, and finally you get to the point where you say, "I'm done, I'm tired, I give up." By the time you get to that point, you've made such a wreck and such a mockery out of so many things. It's a struggle to figure out how you're going to go back and restore it. John reminds you and I right here in this text this morning that this confidence, this love for God the way I should, love for God, love for others the way that it should, it gives us confidence. And it starts with confidence in our heart. And when you and I have that confidence in our heart, then that confidence then moves to our actions. So he first shows us this confidence in our heart, and then he goes on and says, and this confidence will then be evident in your actions. Look at verse 23. And this is the commandment that we love. And this is the commandment that we believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He has commanded us. Notice the actions that are involved there. I put them there in your notes. Notice the actions that are taking place. Number one is believe. He says you have to believe. Not just believe in a pew, not believe in air, not believe in your brakes, not believe in something else. You have to believe. And what are we supposed to believe? That His Son, Jesus Christ. Now that is an entire mouthful worth of theological implications there. But what he is saying is, do you believe that Jesus is Jesus?
Amen.
And not just say with your mouth, because so many times belief is not an action of the mouth. It's an action of your hands. It's an action of your life. Anybody can stand up here and say they're a Christian.
Right.
Oh, we have schools full of people. We have churches full of people that claim to be a Christian. On Sundays, or when somebody asks. What John is saying right here is that belief is not just something with the mouth. Believe is that you believe in His Son, God's Son, Jesus Christ. And our view of God matters. That's why he says, do you believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ? Jesus is His name. Christ is His title. It's not that Christ is His middle name. That wasn't the effect. The idea was that His name was Jesus. That was the name that He was given by His parents. The name that angels told Mary to name the child. But then Christ is what He did. He was the Savior. He was the Messiah. He was the payment for your and I's sins. Do you believe that? Because whether what you believe about God makes a difference in every aspect of your life. Because if I believe that God is just a cool guy that gives me some guidance and some ideas, then I don't have to listen to Him. But if I believe that God is creator, that God is all supreme, sovereign over everything that I do, then that means that He is control of everything that I say and do. So therefore, that involves my actions. And so notice he says, and this is the commandment that we believe in the name of the Son of Jesus Christ and love one another, just as He has commanded us. He gives us these steps and these keys of obedience, which reminds you and I that you and I do not define obedience. So it's a matter of having confidence in our actions. There's a lot of times we trip up here. Because we'll say, oh, I want to love God in my heart. I want to have a heart that's right before God. But then when it comes to the action, so many times we get tripped up because we get distracted. Preacher, I'd be happy to be there on Thursday nights, but I had to work late. Preacher, I'd be happy to be there on Thursday nights, but kid's sick. Preacher, I'd be happy to be there on Thursday night and you fill in the blank. Now, I'm not saying that we're not going to get legalistic. And start keeping track. But at the same time, it's a demonstration of our heart before God. If we say our heart is right before God, then our lives will be right before God. And if we're not willing to serve God, serve His kingdom, and serve other people, then can we really say that we have a heart that is right before God? And I would submit to you this morning that so many times we stumble at this point because the devil gets us distracted, the devil gets us busy, and the devil gets us going in so many different directions we don't have any time to serve God. And yet John comes in and John says, not only does this love for God and love for other people give you confidence in your heart, but it gives you confidence in your actions because you're able to go out and say, I am here to serve God. And I'm able to prioritize God and I'm able to sacrifice for God and I'm able to serve other people and I'm able to go in what He has called me to do. There's a great joy and confidence that comes from being right where God wants you to be. Do you have that confidence in your actions? When you wake up in the morning, do you know what? Do you know with all assurance that what you are going to be doing is what God desires for your life? Do you know that when you go home this afternoon and you sit down and to eat, do you know that what you're going to spend your time doing this afternoon, do you know it's exactly what God wants you to do? No, I'm not saying it's going to be all the same for every single one of us. Terrell may want to go eat some chicken. Dawn may want to go with him and have chicken. I don't know. I don't think I'm having chicken this afternoon. But they may say, we want to go and have chicken. So it doesn't mean that it has to be the same for both of us. But do you know that you can have confidence in your actions because you know your actions are right in the middle of God's will?
Amen.
May I suggest to you that if you are sitting here this morning and you're saying, it's an opportunity for you and I to search our heart and to search our lives and say, am I in the middle of God's will or not? You see, so many times the devil keeps you and I from being confident in our actions so that you and I are always questioning. And you and I are always saying, well, then we'll decide and we'll make these choices. But the reality is when we love God and we love one another, not only does it give a confidence in our heart, but then it gives us confidence in our actions. Which then leads to that final one there in verse 24. So not only do you have confidence in your heart, you have confidence in your actions. And also, love also gives us confidence in our faith. Verse 24, John continues and he says, whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. You have confidence in your faith, brothers and sisters, because we know that when we love God and we love one another, it leads to this confidence in our faith. Why? Because we abide with God. See, there's a certain amount of abiding that goes on. It's the idea that I have a personal relationship, and not just a personal relationship, but I have a personal fellowship, and not just a personal fellowship, but I have intimacy with God. Now the problem is that intimacy is not automatic. Some people think that it's just automatic. Some people think that they get out of bed and they just fall into God. Nobody does that. You may get out of bed and fall into a bad attitude. You may get out of bed and fall into selfishness. You may get out of bed and fall into distractions. You may get out of bed and you might fall into all kinds of sin. But the majority of us aren't just going to get out of bed and just fall into God. No, that intimacy is something that has to be pursued. And that intimacy is something that has to be cultivated. And that intimacy is something that has to be prioritized. And that intimacy is something that takes time and sacrifice and discipline. You folks that have been married longer than me, you know better than me. You don't accidentally stay married. I wish it was that easy. It'd be so nice, wouldn't it, DJ? If you could just accidentally. Oh, I don't got to do anything. I don't have to compromise. Don't have to put the seat down. Don't have to do that stuff. All I got to do is just wake up and this marriage will just stay married. It doesn't work like that, I've been told. I'm waiting, but it doesn't work like that. The same way as our personal Christian walk. That intimacy is something that is pursued, that we pursue, something that is intentional, something that we have to continually work on. And he tells us right there in verse 24, he says, whoever keeps his commandments abides in God. The idea that your intimacy is tied with abiding, and your abiding is tied with obedience, and your obedience is tied with your love for God. So if you want to have that intimacy, it begins with loving God. So he shows you and I right there this idea that if you and I want to abide with God, then we have to figure out what it takes to abide with God. And you notice right there in verse 24, whoever keeps his commandments abide in God and God in him. Now, do you notice that order? God has already done everything he needs to do to make it possible for you to abide with him, short of making you do it. He's provided every opportunity. So the question is not that God needs us. Oh, the truth is that we need God. And that's why John is showing right there that we can abide in God. And when we abide in God, God will abide in us. God has made every opportunity, every possible avenue we need to abide in Him. He has already provided. The question is, will you and I abide in Him? And when we abide in Him, He will abide in us. And we so many times get that mixed up and say, well, God, you need to pull me out of this situation. Or God, you need to take care of me in this situation. And God says, I didn't put you there. I gave you every opportunity not to be there, and yet you decided to go there on your own. But tragically, we have way too many people today that are in the pig pen of life. They're far away from God, and yet with their mouth they would say they're right in the middle of God's will. Which is why I think John makes sure and puts it in there. That second part of verse 24, and he said, and by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. He gives us a little bit of a tool. He gives us a little bit of a way that we can know who is abiding, or we can know if we are abiding. In other words, He is saying that abiding produces fruit. Your abiding in God, your intimacy with God, should produce fruit. Now, do I say that everybody should produce the same fruit? Heavens no. Are we going to go around and weigh your fruit or judge your fruit or become legalistic where you have to produce an X amount of fruit? No, I'm just saying, is there fruit? Is there fruit in your life of what God is doing in your heart? And why that is so is important, because by our fruit we know when we are abiding. Oh, I know when Jaylene and I's relationship is at its sweetest, right at its driest. I know whenever my relationship with God is at its sweetest, right at its driest. And what kind of hypocrisy would it be for me to leave the house and for Jaylene and I to be fighting like cats and dogs, and her be glad that I left, and me be glad that I left, and me come up to the church and say, oh, we have such a wonderful relationship. You sweet people would be like, and you're a liar. And how many people do that with their Christian walk? They haven't cracked their Bible in a week. They don't remember the last time they prayed. They're far from God in their obedience. They're stuck in sin. They're not willing to make the decisions to get back right before God. And yet they show up on a Sunday morning and say, oh, hallelujah. And God is looking and saying, who are you? And brothers and sisters, how many times do we need to recognize that we don't have any confidence in our faith because we don't have our love with God and our love with others right? And I would ask you this morning, what is keeping you from having that heart, having those actions, and having that faith that has confidence and trust in God? I would submit to you that so many times it's because you and I aren't where we're supposed to be. It's not because God isn't where He's supposed to be. It's because you and I aren't where we are supposed to be. So how do we get that confidence back? How do we restore that confidence? Well, I give you just three simple ideas on how you and I can restore that confidence. We see John talking about that if you and I are going to have the successful, thriving Christian life, it's going to be based upon our love for God and love for others. And how does that love for God and love for others show? It shows it in our heart. It shows it in our actions. It shows us in our faith. But if you're here this morning, you're saying, I'm struggling here, Spence. What do I do? I think John first gives us the first idea of how we can restore our confidence is that we yield to conviction. We yield to conviction. That's why he tells you and I right there in verses 20 through down through 21 or 22. He tells you and I that this conviction is for a purpose. God uses the Spirit to work in our hearts. So if you're being convicted, yield to that conviction. Well, I don't like that. I didn't ask if you liked it. Well, I don't like conviction. I don't either. Well, how do you get rid of it? You deal with it. Well, how do I get rid? You don't understand. You didn't put it there. I didn't put it there. God put it there. So you're going to have to deal with God. So if you get convicted over something that you're doing, and you go to a coworker, you go to a preacher, you go to a Sunday school teacher, or you go to a friend trying to get some type of relief from it, you're going to the wrong person. You got to go to the source of the conviction. So we need to yield to conviction. But yet, so many times in our society, we don't do that. We get stubborn. Right, Brady? We get stubborn, don't we? Why? It's the same way. We get stubborn. We get stuck in our ways and we just say, I'm not going to do it. And then we dig our heels in and God keeps pushing and we keep fighting and God keeps pushing and we keep fighting and we've... Who's God? If you and I want to have confidence in our faith, confidence in our actions, confidence in our heart, we're going to have to yield to conviction. Because unless we yield to conviction, we will never be able to prioritize obedience. You and I will never be able to prioritize obedience in our lives unless you and I are willing to yield to conviction. You and I cannot be obedient while we're out of fellowship with God. There is no way that you and I can be perfectly in the middle of God's will and completely away from God's presence. We cannot do the two. And so if you and I are going to prioritize obedience, which that obedience then leads to confidence, and it then leads to assurance, and it has to become because we have a heart that is right before God. And only when we yield to conviction, prioritize obedience, can we value intimacy.
Right.
Can we value intimacy? Last Friday, little school field trip with the boys. Jaylene, of course, is tired being pregnant, and so there was an afternoon there where I said, "Why don't you go take a nap?" And she said, "What are you going to do?" And I said, "Well, the boys and I, we're going to do something together." So while she was laying down and she was taking a nap, the boys and I sat around the table and played games. And I don't think we played for a real long time. We may have just been an hour or 2 hours, but we sat around the table, just me and these three boys, and we played Connect Four. We played the card game Speed. We played some other card games that I taught them. And it was such a, just a sweet, rich time. And I told her, I said, you know, she sometimes gets those because she's able to stay at home with them. She sometimes gets those, but with my schedule and my season of life, I don't get a lot of those 3 or 4 hour blocks of just sweetness around the table. And you know, when you get to those moments, you just cherish it. Oh, you so say, well, why has it been so long since we've had this? And I wish I could have it again. And I so much desire and miss it when I don't get to continue that on. And those sweet spots of intimacy with a family member or with a hobby or with something else you enjoy are the same sweet spots that God has made a way for you and I have with Him. And I wonder how many times do you and I value that intimacy with God? Oh God, I know You're there. Oh God, I know that You've told me I should do this and I shouldn't do that. You've given me all the list of rules, but when was the last time you just had a moment of intimacy with God? Through reading His Word, through prayer, through some type of study, through some type of preaching or some type of moment of meditation and solitude, were you able to just sit there and listen to God? I suggest that sometimes we don't have the confidence in God that we should, because we don't spend the time in intimacy with God like we should. Amen. Sometimes we don't have that confidence and intimacy with God because you and I aren't concerned to prioritizing God. And I submit to you this morning that if you and I spend as much of a pursuit on the intimacy that we have with the things around us in this world, our possessions and our relationships and our vocations and our money and our prosperity and all these things, our football and our vehicles and all the things that we want and all the trinkets of this world, if we spend as much time pursuing intimacy with God as we do pursuing intimacy with those things, we have a much better relationship with God. Yes, so many times we do not pursue that intimacy with God. John comes in and tells us, when your love for God and your love for others is right, not only will it give you confidence in your heart, confidence in your action, but it'll give you confidence in your faith. And I believe this morning, based upon the Word of God, based upon the testimony of John, that when our confidence is where it needs to be, then we will be where we need to be. We'll be advancing the kingdom of God. We'll be telling other people about Jesus. We'll be serving His kingdom. We'll be sacrificing for the sake of the lost being found. We'll be discipling those. We'll be discipling those amongst us. You and I will be on mission for God. Why? Because we will be right in the middle of God's will. And I wonder, where are you at this morning? Would you bow your heads with me? You might be one of those individuals here this morning that you might say, well, yeah, I'm where I'm supposed to be at, Spence. But the reality is, no, you're not. Or you might be here this morning and you might say, well, I know that I'm right before God. No, you're not. You might be here this morning, you're saying, Spence, I'm struggling with confidence. Spence, I'm struggling with trust. Spence, I'm struggling in these areas. And I would just say, it starts with loving God and loving others. Maybe there's something here this morning that you know that God is working you over on some area of conviction that you just need to deal with today. Stop running. Stop rebelling. Yield. Prioritize. And value. I'm going to give you and I a few moments to respond to God's Word this morning. We have read and we've studied God's Word. We've worshipped God's Word together. And I want us to have a few moments that we have to respond. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to stand. We're going to sing with Philip and Jill, a hymn they've selected. And if you need to do business with God this morning, I want you to have an opportunity to do that. It might be coming and praying here at the front. It might be coming and speaking with me about something that God is putting in your heart. Maybe right where you're at, you need to deal with that, something that God is putting on your heart this morning. Let us leave here when we know we leave here that we have all the confidence that God desires for us to have. Let us leave here knowing that we are right in the middle of God's will. Let us leave here knowing that when we leave, we are going to be doing exactly what God desires for us to do. That comes from confidence. That comes from trust. That begins with love for God. Our Heavenly Father, as we've opened Your Word and as we've studied Your Word, God, I ask that You would impress Your heart, Your Word, Your Spirit, Your desire, Your will upon our hearts and our lives. And God, I pray that we as Your people, that we would be centered around Your will for our lives. And God, that we would have that confidence. We would have that trust to know that we are right where You want us to be. And God, we would be able to have the confidence to say, I do love You and I do love other people. And that would be evident in our life through our fruit and our intimacy with You. God, I pray this morning. God, I pray if there be a man, woman, boy, or girl here this morning that they might be dealing with their heart even at this moment. They might know they're not loving You the way they should. They might know that they don't have the confidence the way they should. They know that they desire some of these things, but they don't know how to get them. And God, I just pray that You would work through Your Spirit this morning into our hearts and our lives, God. That we might be people that love You, love others, and that might be evident in our confidence and trust in You. But God, if there be anybody that needs to respond this morning, God, I pray that they'll respond in accordance to Your will, yielding to Your conviction of life. And God, may we be a church. May we be a church that loves You and loves others. Now, Father, if we need to respond, may we respond accordingly. And I ask all these things in Your Son's name.